Welcome to Basic Gospel. We're here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It is relevant, it's personal, and it's essential. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. Do you have a question? What's going on in your life? What's troubling you? Let's talk about it, because this is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. The phone lines are open now, and we invite your calls. The number is 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. We're here to talk with you. This is Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, and live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are looking forward to interacting with many listeners today as they call that toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. And we're talking today about how do you experience God's best in life. I think all of us would love to experience God's best, but when we, you know, come to the end of the day and we look at what we've experienced from the time we woke up until the time we go to bed, we're like, you know, I don't know if I got it today. I don't know if I experienced God's best today. But there is an answer in the Word of God. And what we want to do is to help you know what that answer is and know how to apply it in daily living. This really is a program about you, to help you get connected to the love of God, to help you experience this life of freedom, this life of love, this life of forgiveness to the full. Yeah. So we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast, 1-800-677-9377.
Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of open lines for you. We'd like for you to be a part of this edition of People to People and Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377. A question from Anthony. In your opinion, why do so many Christians, including well-known speakers, accommodate the idea that the wages of sin is broken fellowship?
That is a great question, but you hear that a lot, don't you, Richard?
Sure do.
Every time you sin, you're out of fellowship with God. Well, at that point, you have to ask the question, what do I have to do to get back into fellowship? And we've come up with a lot of formulas, a lot of answers that would, satisfy that. But the Bible never talks about being in and out of fellowship, only in terms of the fact that you're either lost out of the fellowship or saved in the fellowship. Mm-hmm. And once you're saved, you're in the fellowship. You're never going to get out of the fellowship. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is not, you know, a paddling or not time out or not out of fellowship. It's death. And Jesus Christ took that punishment for us. He took that wage for us so that we could experience freedom. And once we know that, that's when we can experience God's best in our lives. Until we come to that conclusion, until we come to that truth, we will never experience God's best for our lives. Why? Because we'll keep struggling with this idea that he doesn't love me or that he doesn't accept me. Why? Because I've sinned and now I'm out of fellowship and he's just turned his back on me and now I have to do something to get him to turn back around. And what is that? What am I supposed to do to get him to turn around? So we need to come to grips with the fact that the wages of sin is death. There's no other consequence of sin than that as far as God is concerned. Jesus Christ stood in our place, took that death, took our death upon himself so that we can be set free. Now we have an opportunity to experience Christ's life and experience it to the full.
Absolutely. Well, again, plenty of open lines. If you'd like to be a part of Basic Gospel, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Louise in Brooklyn, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine, thanks.
Yes, I have a question. It might sound, you know, silly or ignorant, but God is all-knowing, right?
That is correct.
Okay. When he made Adam and Eve, did he not know that Eve was going to commit the sin before she, you know?
He knew what Adam and Eve were going to do. He knew that. That's why it talks about in the Word of God, Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. He also knew before Adam and Eve were even created that there was going to be a point in time that he was going to send Jesus to rescue us to save us from sin and death, that Adam and Eve's choice back in the garden thrust all of us into.
So God
knew all of that beforehand, and Jesus Christ was always the plan. Jesus Christ was always going to be sent into this world so that we could experience new life in him.
I never thought of it that way. Now I understand.
Does that make sense to you, Louise?
Yes, I was getting stuck on it, you know?
Right.
Like, I'll read the Bible and certain things. It's like, why did God, you know, why couldn't he have stopped them, you know? I know God gives us free will, that I know. But I thought, like, maybe he could have made Eve a different way that you wouldn't have done that. But I understand now.
Okay.
Hey, okay.
Well, thanks for your call today, Louise, and
we
sure appreciate the question.
Yes, we do.
Okay, God bless.
Plenty of space for you at Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377. Come on in, be a part of this one. If you have something you'd like to discuss, a Bible question, or if something's going on in life that you just need a little bit of guidance on, this is a great opportunity because the lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377.
I'd like to follow up on that question because there are a lot of people out there who, if they heard your answer, they would say, well, that makes God the fault. He's responsible for sin. How can it be that I'm responsible for my choices when God knew and he didn't stop it? That's a good question, and that's a question I had. When I was a little kid in elementary school, I was in church schools, and one of my favorite questions, because it was always some pastor who would show up and teach us kids about Jesus, and I would ask that pastor that question, and nobody could ever answer it in the tradition I was raised in. I came to an answer later, but that's a fascinating question. How is it that God is still fair, even though he knew all of that stuff could have happened?
Right, and he's fair because he's a God of love, and he already had the plan
salvation
in place.
Yeah, there was nothing in what he did that forced Adam and Eve to make that choice.
That's exactly right. And he tried to do, he even gave a prohibition to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
He knew Satan was going to be there standing at that tree one day trying to tempt them, trying to lure them to take a bite. And so he said, you know, of all the trees in the garden you can eat, but not of this one.
Just not
and,
that one.
And that was there for their protection. A lot of times we look at it as a test. You know, mm-hmm. God was testing mankind. Will they pass? Will they fail? Well, he already knew that they would fail, but I look at it in terms of God's protection of mankind
yes.
and saying no not to this tree and yes to all the others.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Lee in Lodi, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lee.
How you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. I'm actually calling because I consider myself a Christian. I go to church, and I always feel like I'm growing, but I still need to grow a lot more. And I've been praying about, you know, just the same sin I've been committing. It has to do with lust. And, you know, I pray and I still find my way to commit the sin. And I even hear God talking to me sometimes before I'm about to commit the sin. And, you know, it's almost like I ignore it in a way, and then I feel guilty afterwards, and I'm just trying to see, should I just keep praying and keep doing what I've been doing so hopefully I'll break through?
Well, Lee, let me ask you this. What are you praying for? I mean, what's your prayer?
My prayer is just to help me stop committing the same sin. I keep asking God for help,
okay.
And I know he's trying to help me, but when it comes time for me to do my part, I feel like I failed.
Okay. So what if we changed your prayer and made it more in line with what the Bible would encourage us to pray? What would you think of that approach?
I'm willing to try.
Okay.
And, you know.
And here's the reason that I say that. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, if you will read there at the beginning, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So what you're doing is focusing your mind on your flesh, trying to change the nature of your flesh. And so you're praying to God, Lord, help me stop sinning. So your mind is on that sin, isn't it?
Yes, when it comes into my mind, yes.
Yeah, so you're praying, Lord, help me stop lusting. Help me stop doing this. So that's what you're thinking about. Well, the world is a place that is filled with temptations, isn't it? And so your mind is thinking, I shouldn't be lusting. And then you see the billboard, you see the magazine in the 7-Eleven, you see the television program, and all of that has images that just tie into that sin of lust that you are saying, Lord, help me stop lusting. So what God would say to you, Lee, is start asking the Lord to teach you how to start trusting. It's a big difference. Lord, I want to learn how to trust you in day-to-day living. And so with that prayer, your mind is now on Jesus Christ. And if your mind is on Jesus Christ, it's not on lusting.
Okay.
So Paul put it this way, if you will walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Your flesh is always going to lust, period. You're a male. You're like me. You're like every other male on the planet. We are prone to lust. That's just who we are, and that's stimulated by what we see. And so we have to put ourselves in a different mindset. Lord, it's not that I want to stop lusting. That's what I want. But more than anything, I want to start trusting you. There's a lot of people who've learned to stop lusting to some degree, but they're lost. They've never come to Christ. They've never experienced new life in Him. You have come to Christ. You've experienced new life in Him. So the prayer should be, Lord, I want to learn how to trust you and experience your life to the full. And that just changes the focus of your day-to-day living. It's a very simple thing, but it has profound impact. So if you will learn to walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's the byproduct of walking in the Spirit. Does that make sense to you?
It does. Thank you. I'll definitely try it. I'm sure it will work, and I just know I need to keep praying and, like you said, put my trust in His hands, and I'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, let me do this, Lee. I put together a little booklet called Living Life on the Edge, and it's all about how to overcome temptation. Let me put it in your hands and see if that can be a help to you, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Lee. You hold the line.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, my name is Bob Davis. And we have that special gift for you. You know, we have resources at Basic Gospel to aid your spiritual growth and understanding of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And this month we've been spotlighting a CD called The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's been our gift to you during the month of June. So we're just about to run out of time on this particular offer. If you'd like to get a copy, go online to basicgospel.net and click the link on the home page. It's our opportunity to say thanks for joining us on this Basic Gospel Journey. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Sandy in New York listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. So I have two questions, actually. I attend a church where the pastor, I would say, condemns the people who have been married. So if you attend the church or you are a visitor of the church or you want to be a member of the church, there's a lot of restrictions that are placed on that individual because of their status of being remarried. So I found that to be confusing because I know that when we accept Christ, we are new creatures, that old things have, you know, passed, and behold, everything has become new. So that's the past. Then you have also issues with children that are born out of wedlock. He said one time that children who are born out of wedlock, he does not do a baby dedication for them. He will only pray for that child, but he will not do like a baby dedication. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Well, Sandy, you probably don't really want to hear what my thoughts are on that.
I was wondering if we could meet up with this person and have a man-to-man talk.
You know, we have to go to the Word of God. The Word of God is our standard for truth. And here's what we learn when we go to the Word of God, that Jesus Christ stood in our place and took our punishment for us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And even believers in Christ, they still sin. But the truth is that Jesus' blood has taken care of sin once and for all. But that's not the gospel. That's not the whole story of the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection. Jesus Christ took away our sins so that he could come and live inside of us, so that we could experience life everlasting. And when we receive Jesus, we receive his life. He comes to live inside of us, and then he leads us down life's journey. He renews our minds. He brings truth into our hearts and minds and teaches us how to apply that truth in daily living, how to truly trust him and express that trust and love for others. So that's the gospel story. So those of us who are in Christ, when we sin, we can certainly thank the Lord for the forgiveness that he has already provided through his shed blood on the cross. Now, as far as divorce is concerned, that's a sin, isn't it? The Bible is pretty clear. God hates divorce. It was never his intention that once a man and a woman married, that they would ever divorce. But it happens. It happens because our hearts are hard. It happens because we have all sinned. We go our own way. And so when we do, divorce takes place. Has God dealt with that? Yes, he has. He dealt with it really harshly and sternly. He judged it. He said that it deserved death, and Jesus took that death for us. Now, once that's done, we have to realize that we're forgiven people. Now, if you've divorced, and Sandy, is this something that's happening to you? Is this a personal question?
It's not. Well, my husband was divorced.
Okay, so yes. So when you go to this church, you're feeling somewhat condemned. Is that correct?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. So are you in Christ, Sandy?
I sure am.
Okay, so Romans 8:1, just memorize it. Therefore, those who are in Christ Jesus have no condemnation. Why? Because the spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So there's no condemnation for you, Sandy. That's great news. So if somebody's condemning you, you know that's not coming from the Lord. That's not of the Lord. All your condemnation went upon Jesus Christ. So you're sitting in that church, you're feeling guilty, wondering if you should, you may even be asking the question, should I stay married to this guy? I've remarried, and if that's a sin, maybe I should divorce him and just remain single or something. Well, that just compounds the problem, doesn't it? What God would say to you, Sandy, is that your husband, he was divorced. That sin is forgiven. The two of you are now together. Trust him, the two of you, to make this marriage the best that it possibly can.
Correct. And that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
With the help of the Holy Spirit, of course.
Absolutely. And don't let anyone condemn you. Jesus Christ doesn't condemn you. So who are we to pass condemnation on to you?
I don't know if you have time for my second question for the children born under wedlock.
The pastor's refusal to do, a baby dedication because they were born out of wedlock. There's nothing in the Word of God that would compel him to do that. The love of God would compel him to do something differently.
Yeah, that's just the opposite, in fact.
Thank you so much, Bob. I am on the same page as you, but it's also good to hear another fellow, you know, Christian here to say the same thing in agreement with you.
Yeah, well, thanks for your call, Sandy. Hope that helped.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go to Roger in New York. Hi, Roger.
Hi. In Romans chapter 11, it says, God has shut up all men to disobedience so that he can have mercy on them. Does that mean the Lord is deliberately frustrating our obedience to have mercy on us? How should I look at that scripture, is what I'm saying.
Well, you should put it back into its context, Roger. I think that's going to be the best help for you to really come to grips with what Paul is trying to say there. This is a story about Jew and Gentile. Jesus first went to the people of Israel. They rejected him, right? And
right.
And their rejection meant salvation went to the Gentile world, which was always God's plan. The promise to Abraham was that he was going to be the father of many nations, you know, both Jew and Gentile. So this salvation is available to anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. But if it was just a Jewish gospel, if the Jewish people had received their Messiah, then the Gentiles would have rejected. So in God's plan and God's wisdom, he worked it in such a way that the Jews would reject. That would open the door for the Gentiles to receive. And there's going to be a point in time where he circles back to his own, and they're going to receive him. And a part of that is going to correlate when they come to the point and realize that they need mercy just as the Gentiles needed mercy. And the reason that's so is because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need to be saved, don't we? We all need to be saved by grace.
Yeah. And now I get it. Yeah, right.
Does that help, Roger?
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, glad you called. Great question today. Well, let's go to Evan listening to us in New Jersey today. Hi, Evan.
Hey, gentlemen. God bless you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
And to you as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I just had a quick comment in regards to some of us that may be, especially the first caller, I think it was the first or second caller, that was kind of focusing on the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve and sort of like why maybe God could have intervened or may have stopped Adam and Eve from eating the fruit of the forbidden tree. I just had another spin that maybe if you agree, you could just help me with. I figured that for those of us that only may be focusing on that aspect of why God didn't stop Adam and Eve from eating of the tree, I look at it as a illustration of obedience to God and our need for God, whereas the illustration of the importance of our obedience to our God that would create us in his image and gift us with a sinless body, and his only commandment given to man at that time was one commandment, and that was not to eat of the tree or we would surely die. And that transcends even after we fell, because even in our day and time today, we can't walk out in the middle of the street or cars will run us over, or you can't jump on the tracks when a train's coming because a train
will run you over. Well, Evan, it's a great point that you're making. And what I would say to add to that is obedience flows from a heart of trust. And that's the real issue. Do I believe God or do I not? And at that point in time, Adam and Eve chose not to believe God, and disobedience was the result of that. When we choose to trust in the living Christ, when we choose to walk by faith, obedience is the natural outflow of that. Well, Evan, great point today. Appreciate your weighing in on today's broadcast.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, at Basic Gospel, we're ticking down on the final days of our free offer of the CD message called The Basic Gospel Journey. You know, everyone's on a journey, but not all of us know where this journey is going to take us. This is your invitation to take a journey to life and freedom. It's our gift to you during the month of June. Just click a gift for you at basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's basicgospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. A reminder that we are here daily, Monday through Friday, to address your questions by phone and email and to take you into the Word of God for the answer to your question or to offer scriptural guidance for whatever life issue you may be facing. We'd like to remind you also to be sure to like us on Basic Gospel on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.